together glorify the Lord with me. Oh, come exalt his name forever. Magnify our Lord with me. Sing it now. Oh, come exalt his name forever. Let's glorify him with me. Come exalt his name forever. Oh, let's taste and see, 'cause our Lord is good. Blessed is he. How many wants to hide in him? Yes. Oh, fear the Lord, all ye saints, all you saints. He'll give you everything. He'll give you everything. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He blesses you. Whoever hides in him. Oh, fear the Lord, oh, all you saints. He'll give you everything. He'll give you everything. Let's worship him. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I greet you in the name of the Lord. It's good to see all of you this morning. And we know that, you know, through thick and thin, God has brought you here. We've gathered together to hear God's word this morning. And I trust that it'll be a blessing to you and really help you in your walk with him. How many wants that? How many just needs the encouragement, the strength, whatever God will provide? Because he is a God who provides for all of our needs through his riches and glory through Jesus Christ. Amen. While you're standing, if you open your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus is giving out the Great Commission to his disciples. I want to just read that 19th verse. So Matthew 28, 19th verse. Today is, we have young people or youth after the service, so just remember that for the parents. Hallelujah. Matthew 28:19 says, therefore go, Jesus says, therefore go, disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. How many loves the Word of God? You may be seated at this time. Amen. I want to speak this morning on no other name but Jesus. Hallelujah. No other name but Jesus. Amen. This appears to be a straight and a very clear command by the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples on how to baptize new believers. Amen? But what's interesting is that throughout the early church, the disciples consistently baptized in the name. Never once did they baptize using the declaration of the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Instead, they baptized in the early church with the pronouncement in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I find it very fascinating that you will read one passage and read another passage. And for a lot of people, there is a contradiction going on in the Bible. People who are agnostics, atheists, who are against the Word of God will pick up something like that and throw that in our faces. And then you're like, well, what do I do with this? But Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, chapter 10, chapter 19, consistently the baptism was done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that brings up a question. Were the disciples or the apostles disobedient to the Lord's clear command? Were they misunderstanding it? Were they just disregarding it? If that's true, then the whole entire Bible becomes questioned. We have to question it because how could it contradict itself? Is that right? We find ourselves not knowing who to trust or what to trust. But I trust the Bible. I believe it's the Word of God. I believe you can hang your soul on it and anchor your life to it, and it will get you through this life and into the next one. Amen? So we can trust the Word of God. Now, if the apostles instead were actually obeying Jesus' command by revelation, and Matthew 28 and all of these baptisms and acts in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ were actually coincided, then we can anchor our soul on the Bible. It is the Word of God, and we can trust it. Can you say praise God? So we must keep in mind that Jesus often taught in parables. He taught in mysteries. He taught in hard sayings that the apostles and the disciples oftentimes had a hard time understanding at first, right? But Jesus had a solution. And here's the solution. In John 16, just before Jesus was going to be crucified, he left his disciples, his followers, with these beautiful words of promise. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. So Jesus wasn't going to leave his disciples without a witness. He knew there were certain things that they were still struggling with that he had taught them. But he said, when the Spirit of truth has come, he's going to bring to your remembrance the things that I've already said. And in other words, he's going to bring you the full and the true revelation. So therefore, I trust the writings of the book of Acts. I trust the writings of the Apostle Paul, Peter, James, John, all the rest of them. I trust those as being the Word of God. I call it Scripture. Can you say praise God? Because it's the Spirit of truth that was in Jesus that was teaching them, that now was coming around in the form of a Holy Spirit in the disciples, in the apostles, and in among the people, teaching them and guiding them into the very truth of what Jesus declared. Hallelujah. I can anchor my soul on that. I believe that. The Spirit of truth came on the day of Pentecost and anointed Peter. And Peter stood up in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, and he declares the revelation that he has of Matthew 28. How many wants to go with what Peter's revelation is? How many trust that it was the Holy Spirit? And we know that it was, right? So Peter says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah, both Lord and Christ. Hallelujah. This same Jesus. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Can you imagine how helpless they felt? He is laying out something like a charge. You crucified. This same Jesus that you crucified, God has made Lord in Christ, or has been made Lord in Christ. And so they're like, what can we do? Their hands are like this. We're guilty. What do we do about that? Don't you love the love of, isn't it amazing the love of God that goes beyond our mistakes and all our errors, that he can look past that and he still has a plan of redemption no matter what we do? Amen. So Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God will call. Hallelujah. And that includes us. So if it's the same promise, it is the same word, it is the same revelation of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, same revelation they had, has to be the same revelation we had. And he says all the way down, there isn't going to be a time when that revelation switches or changes. Or something else happens. Peter is declaring it. In fact, Eusebius was a pastor. He was the bishop of Caesarea, the church there. He was known as the father of church history. Even to this day, we can still read his writings about the early church from the apostles all the way to his time, which was around 300 A.D. And he wrote prolifically. And Eusebius quotes Matthew 28:19 several times, but interestingly, he never quotes it as it appears in our modern Bibles today, but always finishes the verse of Matthew 28 with, in my name. Interesting, and I'll give you one of the quotes. Christ had said to them, go ye and make disciples of all nations in my name. Hallelujah. Now, you might say, well, what was he doing? I believe Eusebius was doing what was happening among the church in that time. For 300 years of the early church, they had a revelation of what the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit was. That was their revelation. The political bishops who came later could not have a revelation. They were just using reasoning. They wanted to compare what Jesus said to the apostles, and by doing this, they were countering Jesus and the Holy Spirit and making them go at each other. Imagine how the devil divides and conquers. This is one great way he can do it. Hallelujah. But we're going to see why there's other reasons why Satan might get involved in these things. Now watch. Jesus warned that Satan hates his name. He said, if they hate you, they're going to... If they hated me, he says, the world's going to hate you too. So that's just all there's to it. But Satan hates the name of Jesus. He hates the name of Jesus Christ. And he is going to, even by a prophetic statement by Jesus himself, will attack his name and get people to disregard it. You want to see this. It's the true name of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Now here it is. Satan, listen, has no issue with you or me taking the generic, sterile titles of God's main attributes. God is the Father. God is the Son. God is the Holy Spirit. He doesn't care if you take those. He's fine with that. But just don't take the name of that God. He doesn't want you to have the name of the Father, the singular name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, because if you have that, he's in trouble. You can't read the book of Acts and see where Satan was in trouble when they declared in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, because they never declared it. But they consistently declared over every action, over every word, over everything they did, every miracle that was performed, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because by revelation, they knew that was the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? Why would Satan be against it? Because he fears the name. He fears the name. And why does he fear the name? Because there's power in the name. Hallelujah! Do you believe that? There is power in the name of Jesus. Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, Jesus is writing letters to the church, which is going to go out to the entire church age, not just to singular churches, but he's writing letters based on the characteristics of these individual churches and individual cities, because it's reflecting the whole entire history of 2,000 years of church history. Praise the Lord. And he's beginning to speak about his name, and he says in Revelation 2:13, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith. Imagine that. There were some people that he was commending, saying, you are holding fast to my name. There's something about the name of Jesus. Amen. It is the name of salvation. Now, the key to Jesus' command in Matthew 28 is his use of the word name in the singular. I don't know if you noticed that. But he said, baptize them in the singular name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. These three attributes of God hold one singular name. Praise the Lord. Not in the names of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't say, baptize in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. But also, there's a third way he could have worded it, and he didn't. He did not say to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That would sound more like a name, possibly, or a phrase that you would use. But he says, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You get that? It's one singular name. Let's ask this question then. What is the name of the Father? What is the name of the Son? And what is the name of the Holy Spirit? So let's start with the Son. What is the name of the Son? Now, I like the Word of God, because the Word of God has the answers to any questions. Can you say amen? Right? So Matthew 1:21, it says, she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Hallelujah. For he will save his people from their sins. Aren't you excited to know that Jesus is the one who saves you from your sins? Listen, raise your hand if Jesus saved you from your sins. The glory of that is that you're one of his people. Hallelujah. If you're one of his people, he's going to save you from your sins. And that's why his name is a reflection of his character, of his actions, of who he is, and what he's about to do, and what he did accomplish. His name is Jesus. What is the name of the Father? Jesus said in John 5:43, I have come in my Father's name. Hallelujah. And you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. What a rebuke. People want to take some other person's name, but Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. So what is the Father's name? It is Jesus. It is Yeshua, Yehoshua, amen. In other words, Yahweh, our Savior. And Yahweh is a name of God used 7,500 times in the Old Testament. 7,500 times. But the Jews decided not to take the name of the Lord in vain. They went a little too far with it. So they expunged that from the word and just put the letters in there so that people lost the ability to even understand that it was a name. And when it was translated into Greek and when it was translated into English, it just was Lord, but all capital letters. But 7,500 times, God signs his name to his word. In other words, demonstrating, I want you to know me. You don't know me as a what, you know me as a who. Amen. You don't know that me just as a pastor, I'm speaking to myself now, just as a father, just as a son, just as a husband. You know me as Elijah. That's my name. That's my name. That's my name. Hallelujah. If somebody comes to you and says, hey, what's that person's name? You know they don't know that person very well. They don't know their name, right? So that's 7,500 times God is trying to let people know, I don't want you just to know me as a far-off, distant God. I am a God who draws near to you. I am a God who desires to dwell among you. I am a God who desires to be called your God and for you to be called my people. And if that relationship's going to happen, we ought to know each other by first name. Hallelujah. His name is Yahweh. Yahweh, Hoshua. Yahweh, our Savior, becomes Yehoshua, and that is Jesus' name. Can you say praise God? What is the name, singular name, of the Holy Spirit? Jesus said in John 14:26, just before he went to the cross, he says, but the Helper, the Paraclete, the one who's called alongside to help you, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I have said. Hallelujah. Do you love God with all your heart? What name does the Holy Spirit come in? He comes in the name of Jesus. The name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. The name of the Holy Spirit is Jesus. Hallelujah. That is the name of God. That is the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is God. Now, I know many times we think Jesus Christ and we think of the lone Galilean, a man walking around. That was not just a man. Listen, when Jesus was tired, he truly was a man. When Jesus was crying, he truly was a man. When he felt pain, he was a man. When he was hungry, he was a man. When he was weak or being attacked or bleeding and suffering and dying, he was a man. But when he told the wind and the waves to stand still and peace be still, that was more than a man. When he turned bread into multiplied bread, that was more than a man. When he spoke, amen, and said, Lazarus, come forth, that was more than a man. And on the third day after being dead, Jesus Christ broke the seals of death and came forth. That was more than a man. Yes, he was a man, but he was also Almighty God. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. And it's the same God, same God. You can't just think of Jesus as just a man. You have to understand he was also God. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. Praise the Lord. One could argue that the phrase coming or speaking or acting in the name of someone, it doesn't necessarily mean using that name, just means to come in the authority of that name. And that's the argument that's made often. However, the apostles in practice, when they were using the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they also declared that name. Hallelujah. So I want you to understand the value of it. In other words, there was a time when there was a woman who was practicing sorcery who was following Paul around in his ministry in one of the Gentile cities, and she was saying, these men have the spirit of the Most High God, and she kept declaring it for days and days. Finally, the Bible tells us in Acts 16:18, And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that very hour. Hallelujah. Not just authority, but authority with the declared name. And I'm telling you, you can declare anything you want to, but when you declare the name of Almighty God, and that name is the Lord Jesus Christ, demons have to move. Praise the Lord. The apostles were accomplishing miracles by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also they were using that by declaring, by pronouncing the very name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says in Acts chapter 3, then Peter said to the man who was crippled at the gate, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'm going to give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he picks him up by the hands and lifts him. And the man got strength in his ankles. And after 40 years of sitting there, he was leaping and shouting and running, all because of the name of Jesus. Do you believe it? There's power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Later, these apostles were questioned by the Jewish leadership in Sanhedrin, and they were asked, by what authority or by what name? Hallelujah. By what authority or by what name have you done this? Praise the Lord. They got the full question. We want to know both the authority and the name. We've got to know. And the answer is this. Peter stands up, Acts 4:10, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you completely whole. Hallelujah. And by him you are here today completely whole. By him. Isn't that amazing? By his name. And then he turns around and says, by him. Let me tell you something. When you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes. Whenever his name is, he is there. He and his name are connected together. Hallelujah. Wherever his name is, then he is there also. He is always present in his own name. And then Peter doesn't stop there, but continues by saying, this Jesus is the stone which the builders, he says, you have rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor, and here's where it gets really, it's just, you talk about putting a nail in and then clinching it so nobody could take it out, right? He says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved. No other name, not titles, but the name of the titles. The name is Jesus. Hallelujah. What is God's name for salvation? You tell me. It's Jesus. Praise the Lord. The singular name of the Father is Jesus. The singular name of the Son is Jesus. The name of the Holy Spirit is Jesus. The religious spirit of Satan upon those Jewish leaders wanted the disciples to stop using the name. They never said to stop teaching. They never said to stop preaching. They never said to stop doing miracles. They just were against the name. Pay attention to how Satan works. He will first persecute the name, and if he can't destroy the name, he will water the name down and make it sterile and generic and titles, so there is no name. Oh, understand, Satan's kingdom is upset today. Amen. Watch what happens in Acts 4:17. But so that these Jewish leaders are speaking to each other, but so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak no more in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or nor to teach in the name of Jesus. They didn't care if they spoke. They didn't care if they preached. They didn't care if they taught, but just not in the name of Jesus. Why? They feared the power of that name. That name was so powerful it was destroying Satan's kingdom. That name is so powerful it rips down and tears down strongholds. That name is so powerful because it's the name of God, it tears down religious edifices. And those religious leaders don't want to lose their wherewithal, you know, their financial business. They don't want it to be destroyed, so they must destroy or stop the name. But you can't stop the name of Jesus Christ. It is like a steamroller. It's going to roll over everything and nothing can stop it. It's the most powerful name on this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No other name but Jesus. But how did these followers of Christ who had been threatened react to the threat? Did they go hide? Did they go start teaching in secret? Did they go, go to a different country? Not at all. Instead, they gathered together. They shared with each other the threat, and they began to pray. You know what you need to do when the devil comes against you? You need to gather with the brothers and sisters and start praying. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm going to be there in the midst. Notice, when two or three are gathered in my name. Hallelujah! Not my church, not my edifice, not my building. In my name, if you're in my name, I'm going to be there. And things are going to happen. So what did they do? They began to pray and they said, "For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Hallelujah. Not just authority, but the authority expressed by the words, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? How many will obey the Spirit of Christ and do what Jesus said, be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit? Notice the first word Jesus uses there is therefore. So if you see a therefore, you have to look at the verse in front of it to see why the therefore is therefore, right? So what is the verse before it? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All authority, all things, Father, Son, Holy Spirit is right now present in this resurrected body. All that you are thinking about as being God is in this human being called Jesus. The human being is called Jesus, but only because he's carrying the name of God, the God who is our Savior, the God who's our Redeemer. Amen. Therefore, go, discipling nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, all authority in heaven and earth. What is the name? What is the name of God? Hallelujah. You can't get it by going to seminary or cemetery. You can't get it by going to university. You can't get it by being educated. I can't really even tell you what it is. But by God's grace, the divine Holy Spirit can come down right now and give you a revelation, just like he did on the day of Pentecost. And you can walk out of here knowing, I know the name of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Now some people say, well, that feels weak. I don't want to just think of God being Jesus when there's a Father there, there's a Son, there's a Spirit. He's got to have three different names. There's not three different names. There's one singular name. I can only read one Bible. I can't think of another one. I want to stick with this Word of God. There's one singular name. They had the revelation in the early church. I want to do what they did. They did. Look what the early church accomplished. Look what we're trying to do. If we want to get back to what they did, we have to get back to their revelation. It must be the same. How many here will obey the Spirit of Christ and be baptized in his precious name? Who will obey the Holy Spirit and do that? For this reason, Ephesians 3 says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." The whole family. That's why you're baptized into the name. Paul said, you weren't baptized in my name. You weren't baptized in Apollos' name. You weren't baptized in someone else's name, Peter's name. In other words, we're baptized in somebody's name. Hallelujah. That's how we got into the family that's named Jesus Christ. We get into the family by being saved, by receiving the Savior, amen, and by accepting that Jesus Christ is not just a man, but a man who was filled with God. Can you say praise God? Who not only died as a man, but he rose as God in a man on the third day. Praise the Lord. And so that's why when you're baptized, as Paul says, we are baptized into Christ in the likeness of his death. That's what baptism represents. It's representing the life, the suffering, the burial, amen, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're going to be taken, as it were, by example, a sinner, but now put under the water as though you die as a sinner, but now you come up again as a saint, a redeemed one, redeemed by Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus, and filled with his Holy Spirit. Look at how many times people were needing the Holy Spirit. We don't have time to go into it right now, but how many times were people filled with the Holy Spirit? They were filled with the Holy Spirit over and over again. But there were times when people did not have the Holy Spirit. They even said to Paul, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. But Paul says, well, then how were you baptized? Isn't that interesting? How were you baptized? Why is that the question? The thing that God was doing then from the day of Pentecost on was the Holy Spirit. And that was the question. Do you have the Holy Spirit? And there was another group who was in another part of Israel that did not have the Holy Spirit either. And the apostles went over to them and they found out they had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ but didn't have the Holy Spirit. So again and again, you're going to see in Acts chapter 2 and all the way through chapter 8, chapter 10, chapter 19, that there were people who needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Isn't he wonderful? Amen. But sometimes the question came down to, how were you baptized? And if the baptism was correct, then wonderful. Now, Peter, when he preached to the Samaritans, found out that they did not know about that baptism. So they had to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they received the Holy Spirit. And then Peter went to Cornelius, who was a Gentile, and those Gentile people were gathered around. They were seeking God. They wanted to know what was happening and what was the truth of their day. And Peter was preaching, and the Bible says, and while Peter yet spake these words, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what does Peter do? Immediate thing coming out of his mouth is, who can forbid these people from being from water? Let them be baptized. And the Bible says he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. In the Wycliffe Bible, it says, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So I'm telling you this morning, I'm going to declare to you this morning, there is no other name but the name of Jesus. This same Jesus has been made Lord and Christ, meaning that he is the Father, he is the Son, and he is the Holy Spirit. Everything that God was, Jesus was and is. Everything God was in the Old Testament, Jesus is in our day. Amen. And everything that Jesus is, he's pouring into us. We are to be a part of this family. If you're a part of a family, I can't know what family you're part of just by looking at you. I can't know what part of the family you're of just by you telling me what kind of work you do. I can only really know what family you're part of if you tell me your name. If you give me your name, like Brother Marty might give me his name, and I might say, must be Irish or something, must be Scottish or something. You know, I could start to narrow it down. You can know what family or what stock somebody is of by their name. Praise the Lord. And how do so many people go around today calling themselves Christians, but looking like the world, acting like the world, behaving like the world? Isn't it true? It's like that's such a shame for the name. It's really taking the name of the Lord in vain. Jesus even said, many will come in my name in the end time. So in other words, they'll be called Christians. But really, the only way people can know that you have the name of Jesus Christ is because you are acting like Jesus Christ. You are behaving like Jesus Christ. You are loving like him. You are caring for people like him. You're reaching out. You're getting the results that he was getting. Can you say praise God? That's how they know, because there's no other name. And this name that I'm declaring to you this morning is the most powerful name in heaven and on earth and even under the earth. When a Christian, even if you're the weakest believer, gets on your knees and starts to pray in the name of Jesus, let me tell you what happens. Satan's entire kingdom starts to reel and to rock because it is having supernatural earthquakes. Because the weakest Christian has gotten down on his knees and started pleading with God in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus taught us, pray in my name, ask in my name, and you shall receive. Hallelujah. And I believe that's what we're called to do. Listen, saints, this may be hard, and you may feel like I need to go do some more research. You can. You can go on the internet. You can search. You're going to see all the arguments. But all I can tell you is get back to the Word of God. Listen, saints, whatever the early church did, I believe in it. I am not going to take my Bible and rip that out because I don't agree with it. I'm not going to decide that the apostles weren't quite right, but Jesus is the Lord. He's right. No, those apostles had the Spirit of the Lord in them, the same one who was speaking through Jesus, the same one that spoke through Jesus, that said to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. The same one in them got into Peter and said, baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus couldn't say that because it would be appearing as a prophet giving honor to himself. He was still in the role of a prophet, even though he was God. But even though he was resurrected, but he had to give it to them to let the Holy Spirit, his Spirit that would return, have room to work in their hearts and their lives and give them divine revelation. Listen, saints, you cannot overemphasize divine revelation. The early church lived and acted and had the authority and the power they had by divine revelation. Even one day Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, men, human beings have not revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? And from then on, we know revelation can't come from man handing information to man, but it has to come from God. So you can search the internet if you want to, the information world we live in, but revelation's not coming from there. It's coming from the Word of God. Faith comes from God's Word. And that's why they were able to get the results that they got, because they had the revelation of God's Word. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute here. And there are many, many times when, you know, you hear leaders today, and I know this goes really runs counter to a lot of things that you hear. I've heard people perform weddings and say, bless, you know, pray over the two they just put together as a leader or pastor. I've married many people and asked the blessing. You know, may they be blessed in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, listen, saints, and many other times they're using this, but the fact of the matter is, if I cut a check for you right now, let's say each one of you, I cut you a check for $1,000. I don't have a bank account that could probably support that, but cut a check, $1,000. And $1,000 is nice. Could go a long way. Anybody could use it, right? And I just simply write on there, in the name of the husband, the father, and the son. I am a son. I'm a father. I'm a husband. And you go to the bank, right? And you hand this to the teller, and they go, we need to know the name. But that's the name. No, that's not the name. There's a lot of things that can be a father, a son, and even a sanctified or Holy Spirit. We need the name. Go back and get the name. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing. The money's there. The power's there. The blessings are there. But people don't have the name right. They don't have the name. So you got to go back. You got to get the name. If you got to come to me and say, I need your name. I can't cash this check. It's useless to me. But I'm like, I've got money. It's in the account. You can cash it. But I need a name. Because there's no authority in the sterile titles of what I am. I need the name of who I am. It's the who that signs the check. Amen. Hallelujah. Who is the Father? Who is the Son? Who is the Holy Spirit? That's our God. His name was Yahweh, Jehovah, Yahuwah. Jesus is who he is. Amen. Yeshua is who he is. And when you can get that name, Jesus, on that check, let me tell you, there's nothing that you cannot have. For God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Jesus Christ. That name. Get that name on the check. Amen. Now you might say, well, I had a lady one time tell me, well, I was baptized in titles, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But in my heart, I was feeling like it was Jesus. I said, that sounds great. And that sounds honorable, but that's not what the Bible says. These apostles corrected people who felt pretty good about their baptism. They felt pretty good about what they'd done. They still had to do it again. They had to do it over. You know, I don't know if you realize this, but more than likely, there were a number of these disciples who followed Jesus who originally were baptized by John. They were baptized unto John. Is that right? They had to get baptized again. They went, they had a new rabbi. Hallelujah. And that rabbi was Jesus. And they got baptized through Jesus. Hallelujah. And so I'm asking you to pray and pray for your loved ones, pray for people, and just ask God to give you that revelation. Lord, give me the revelation. If this is true, that's really your name. Help me understand this. And I don't want to have theologians argue that out. I want to see the Holy Spirit reveal that to me. Because there's a difference between being convinced by people and being filled with revelation by Almighty God. You don't want Jesus to say when you get to heaven, and whether you can get in the door or not, and he says, well, why were you baptized like this? Well, that's what I heard. And he says, so flesh and blood has taught you this. Yeah. But Jesus honored Peter because it was my Father in heaven who taught you this. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus says in Luke 24:46, and I end on this, it parallels Matthew 28. Matthew 28, he's giving out the Great Commission. At the end of each one of these gospel renditions, you can see this commission. In Luke 24:46, he says, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Messiah, for Christ, to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Did the apostles follow this? Yes, they did. Did the 120 in the upper room do this? Yes, they did. Hallelujah. They began in Jerusalem baptizing people in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The first 3,000 new believers that came to the church were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that astounding? How did it change? Why did it change? Who changed it? That's just the way it went. Amen. And one last thing, if you read Mark 16:15 at the very end there, Jesus said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned or judged. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. Hallelujah. In my name, they will cast out demons. In my name, they will heal the sick. In my name, they will raise the dead. In my name, you're going to do great things. It's got to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. How many wants to obey the word of God? How many will obey the word of God? How many wants to, listen, saints, let me tell you something to be honest with you so that you can understand this. Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If somebody just simply proclaimed over you, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, they actually didn't do what Jesus asked. If you were baptized that way, you didn't do what Jesus asked you to do. Because he declared it very powerfully, the name. He doesn't have to spell it all out. Many times he said things that was relying on his Spirit to come back and give you that revelation. You're still outside the family. Though we love everyone, want everyone to be saved, but you remain outside the family because you haven't even come into the name. It's like a woman getting married. She's getting married to a man. This modern day, you know, women say, I'm not going to take your name. You keep your name. I want my own. You know, your name is weird. Snicklefield. I'm never going to be called Snicklefield. Never. I don't care. I like my name better. And that's what happens, you know. But in the original way things were done, and this is the way the Bible sets it up, is that the woman becomes identified with her husband and takes on her name. Brother James Nagby is over there laughing because Nagby, who wants to be called Nagby? But I like that name because it's very close to the Hebrew word for prophet. So I think that's pretty cool. It's close, good enough for me. But listen, saints, you understand what I'm saying here. If you're going to marry, if a woman's going to marry that man, she loves him so much. She loves where he's going, who he is, what he's all about. She wants to go ahead and let her identity be lost in his identity. She's willing to take on his name, to really become part of him and build a whole family with him. And that's what I'm asking you to think about. Do you really want to be married to Jesus Christ? Do you want to be that wife who makes herself ready? Do you want to be that bride of Jesus Christ that the book of Revelation speaks about? Well, let me tell you something then. You're going to have his name. You're going to have his name. You're going to want his name. You're going to be willing to give up your own name, your own identity to have his name. That's why we're not any more Catholic. We're not any more Pentecostal, Baptist. We're not any more Methodist, Lutheran. You know, Lutheran, right? Why are people going around with some man's name attached to them? Don't have a name on you. Don't have Branham. Don't have a name on you. Have the name of Jesus Christ on you. That's the name we're supposed to have. We're thankful for Martin Luther. We're thankful for the men of God that he has sent us. And the people of God that he has sent us to anoint us and to bring us back to the word. We're thankful for the anointing that has come through those ministries. But saints, the job of those ministries was to get us connected to Jesus Christ. Otherwise, they failed. Let them be successful. You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You must also accept him as your Lord. Jesus said, you call me Savior and Lord. He says, if I am your Lord and your Savior, then don't build your house on sand. Build it on the rock. Dig down, find the revelation, and plant your house on that. And let this household be named by the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For that is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Do you love him with all your heart? Let's have the musicians come. I have a couple of songs I want to try to sing or get us to do. We know this one by heart, Break Every Chain. I just like the first part of this, the verses to it. And while the musicians are coming, I would like us to bow our heads for just a moment. You remember in the Bible, there were disciples who ultimately decided to leave Jesus after 3.5 years of ministry, near the 3-year mark. They decided to walk away. And they said, these are hard sayings. Who can understand it? And that was the reason they decided to walk away. Listen, what I've preached this morning might be a hard saying. It might hurt because you have a personal experience in your Christian walk. You remember the day you were baptized. You remember the preacher saying, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And maybe even you felt that was Jesus. But can you honor that name today by not having it placed on you when you're baptized? How are you honoring that name of Jesus? Jesus didn't come in his own name. He came bearing the name of his Father. He was carrying the name of God himself. If you want to have that name of deity in your life, of the Lord, you're not simply taking the name of the Son and leaving the Father and the Spirit out. You're taking the name of all of it. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You're receiving the full name of all the fullness of the Godhead dwelling bodily in Jesus. Receive that full name. And how many here can raise your hand and say, I thank God that I've received the name of Jesus, or I thank God I can start to understand I want that name of Jesus in my life. Just raise your hand if you're accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as the Almighty God who saves and redeems you from hell, from this world, and from even yourself. Receive Jesus right now. Father God, as we close, we just trust that this word doesn't fall on deaf ears, doesn't fall on the negligence of man, doesn't fall on, oh well, what does it matter? But I baptized this way, that way. But it seemed to the apostles it was important. And Jesus, you knew that you could trust them, that they would be there on that day of Pentecost, so the Spirit of truth could lead them and guide them into the truth of your words. So I pray now, Father, that everyone who's heard this thought, this word, that today would realize that there's no other name but the name of Jesus. No other name but Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. In your precious name we pray and believe the Holy Spirit will go to work for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Now while we sing this song, I want chains to break from your life and you receive your healing right now in Jesus' name. Receive your blessing. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Power in the name, break it, Lord, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name, in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. And it breaks every chain, breaks every chain, it breaks every chain. Hear the chains breaking. Oh, it breaks every chain, breaks every chain, breaks every chain. Now there's an army rising up in the name of Jesus. Yes, there's an army rising up in the name of Jesus. Rise, there's an army rising up to break every chain, 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 break every chain. Hallelujah. Don't you love that? Breaking every chain, healing the sick, casting out demons, tearing down strongholds, all being done in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing another song. I don't know if you know this, and I don't even know what key it's in, but no other name but the name of Jesus. No other name but the name of the Lord. There's no other name but the name of Jesus is worthy of glory and worthy of honor and worthy of power and of praise. Amen. We have to practice that one, don't we? It's a little bit of an oldie but a goodie. And so, but I love that. No other name but the name of Jesus. Let's honor that name. No other name but the name of the Lord. No other name but the name of Jesus is worthy of glory and worthy of honor and worthy of power and of praise. Amen. Father God, as we go, we ask that you would be with us. And also, Lord, the food that's going to be coming here, we ask you to bless the preparing of it, bless the delivery of it, bless the eating of it, bless our fellowship and time together. May there just be an enjoyable sense of fellowship. And the practice in the worship, may that just be inspired and anointed by you. And the youth lesson and the youth time together, may it just be an exciting time in Jesus Christ, we ask. In your precious name we pray, amen. Turn around and greet somebody, shake their hand. Tell them how much you appreciate them, amen. Greet them in Jesus' name, amen. No, but the name of Jesus.